Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 63. I am Jeff. I can't do this intro anymore. I'm horrible, horrible host. I can't say my own name. I am Jeff. I am joined, as always, by Chris.
That's me.
And we got a couple of movies that are kind of recent to DVD and such, but Chris just went and saw a big one that's up for a lot of awards in the theaters. Chris, tell us about The Revenant.
The Revenant. It is the next film from Alejandro González Iñárritu.
It's a tough one.
Probably not pronouncing that correctly. Mexican director. He won a bunch of awards last year for Birdman.
Yeah.
I did not see Birdman. Everything I've heard about it kind of makes me go, don't go see Birdman.
I didn't like it.
I don't know, the Revenant, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hardy. It's a revenge film of sorts, or at least that's how it's kind of painted. It takes place like the early 1800s. It's like frontiersmen, so it's not really... It's not a Western in the traditional sense, but it definitely has, like, those, you know, that feel.
Yeah.
Of, you know, pistols and muskets and shit like that going on. Anyway, Leonardo DiCaprio plays this tracker or guide, Hugh Glass. And he's out there with his son, who is half Indian. I think Pequana, I think is what they call his tribe.
Sure.
His name is Hawk, and he's out there. They are attacked very early on by some Indians. Not really sure why. They're out there kind of collecting furs, trapping to get leather and stuff out there on the frontier, and they're attacked by these Indians who then steal basically their haul and leave most of them. There's like 45 of them, I think, at the start, and at the end of the attack there's only 10 left. They escape though, and Leonardo DiCaprio's character is like, hey, we need to ditch this boat because those Indians are gonna, they're gonna track us down and kill us, so we need to ditch the boat that we're on, kind of head inland and try and lose them there. So they go about their way. DiCaprio is then attacked by a bear, and it is a brutal scene. It's long. It's a long scene, and it's really like, I mean, he's attacked by a grizzly bear, but it is a grizzly scene. He is mauled to like within an inch of his life. And the captain of the group kind of decides, no, we're not going to leave him for dead. We're not going to put him down. Like, there's a chance he could survive. We're going to bring him with us. So they're trying to escape from the Indians who are on their tail. They have DiCaprio, who is injured. Eventually, they just get to a point where they can't bring him along anymore. So the captain offers up a kind of a reward. Hey, anybody that stays with him, either till he dies or till we can get back to you, I'll put up reward money. Like, there's a bonus in it for you guys. And Tom Hardy, who's kind of been like this asshole through the whole thing, he doesn't like anything Glass has been doing, he volunteers. And then pretty much immediately sets about leaving the dude for dead. And he ends up killing DiCaprio's son, leaves DiCaprio in like a shallow grave, and heads off on his own. And the rest of the movie is DiCaprio, like, kind of coming back basically from the dead and tracking Tom Hardy down across, like, this frozen tundra wasteland and hunting him down.
That all sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's just about 2.5 hours long, though, and it would be really awesome if there was anything of substance there. Like, there's these great visual shots, but you don't really get any feeling of DiCaprio outside of, you know, he's trying to get to the town that he was heading to so he can kill this dude. And there's really little characterization, I think, across the board for any of them. And then the ending happens, and it's just kind of like, did I just waste 2.5 hours? Because I'm pretty sure that the meaning of this film is that, like, was like everything that DiCaprio was doing, he just kind of leaves to fate in the end. It's like, huh? Like, I was really left just kind of scratching my head. It's a very, like, no matter what, whether you end up liking it or not, there's no way coming out of that film, like, not going, that was a beautiful movie. Like, the cinematography in it is fantastic. DiCaprio is good. I wouldn't say he's, like, captivating or anything. I don't think there's anything in the movie that was captivating, though. I wasn't bored by it, but I wasn't wowed by any of it either. I mean, there's a couple cool shots. That bear scene was pretty cool. There's a, I think they show it in the trailer. There's a scene where DiCaprio is being chased by, like, a bunch of Indians on horse, and he ends up taking his horse off the side of a cliff.
Yeah, I've seen that in the
Yeah, into a
trailer.
tree, and then he tauntauns the hell out of it. He, like, totally slices the horse up the gut, just like Han Solo does in Empire Strikes Back, and then he crawls into the carcass of the horse to keep warm. It's a pretty cool scene, but I don't know. It's just like I kind of left feeling like there was no point to it. Like, there's no satisfaction at the end of it.
It's disappointing. I don't know. I've heard like all things all over the place, but I tend to believe you when you say this because just based on previous experience with this director, for me, it's kind of I can see that definitely happening. I do think that DiCaprio might win an Oscar for this. Now, I haven't seen it, but I think it's gonna be one of those things where it's like, well, we didn't get you for Wolf of Wall Street or all the 800 fucking other movies you were in, so we didn't
Any of
give you
the
an
other
Oscar this
movies
time.
over the last 10 years that you've been in that we
I mean,
probably could
even
have
as a
had.
kid, he was fantastic. You know, like so he's earned it. He's put in his fucking dues or whatever. Like, but yeah, I have a feeling this is gonna be one of those things where he gets it for this, and when you actually look at the performance, you just kind of like, maybe it's not just his performance. I'm sure it's fine, but the way you make it sound is like you don't really know much about him or whatever.
I mean, there's like these, there's a little bit of flashback scenes. So you know that, like, you know that he was in love with this Indian woman. He had a son by her, but I mean, that's evident from the fact that his son is half Indian. Like, you don't need these flashback scenes going back to that. And it's really weird because there feels like there's an amount of bloat in the movie that just doesn't need to be there. And all these flashback scenes where he's seeing his dead Indian wife, like, I assume that his wife, it just doesn't work. None of that works at all. And then there is this subplot with the Indian group that attacks DiCaprio's crew in the beginning. There's a subplot for why they are tracking DiCaprio's group down, as they believe that the Americans have taken his daughter, the chief's daughter, when actually it's like somebody totally else, but they'd never dig into that at all. And I think there's supposed to be a correlation between, like, the Indian chief who's out for revenge and wants to rescue his daughter, and DiCaprio's character who was out for revenge for the murder of his son. But the two of them, like, you don't get enough of the Indian, you don't get enough characterization on Glass, you just know that they're both out for revenge. So there's kind of like this parallel story that goes on, and then the end just happens, and DiCaprio leaves the fate of Tom Hardy up to fate.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of it, where you're coming down, this hinges on the ending not really working for you.
Yeah, I think if, like, the ending was a little more satisfying, like, even if it's not, you know, he hunted Tom Hardy down and kills him, if it was just something slightly more satisfying and not just like, yeah, maybe I'm not gonna do this now. Like, really? The whole movie, you've been on this motherfucker now.
I would be pissed. I'd be like getting the end of the Kill Bill, and she's like, "Well, I still love Bill," or like, "What the fuck?" I don't know.
Like, there's a. I heard somebody say there's like a. They were comparing it to The Gray, which is a movie I didn't love, but I enjoyed. But at least at the end of that, like, even though, like, you don't actually see the fight, like, there is some sort of satisfaction that he finally comes up against that alpha wolf and
Yeah,
they're
well,
gonna go at it.
it was a satisfying ending that you could take either way, I guess. Like you
Right.
could be like, well,
Yeah,
he
there's
won or he
no
lost.
ambiguity here.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's The Revenant, up for like 12 awards or something, but we'll get to the
And
Oscars shortly.
just to piss you off, I'm sure it'll win them all.
Probably.
What would you your final verdict score?
I'm gonna go with a 3.
Okay.
I didn't hate it. Like, it wasn't satisfying. Like, it is, but it is a beautiful, beautifully shot movie. Really great vistas and nature shots, and that bear sequence is phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. He wasn't raped by the bear, though,
He
right?
was not raped by the bear.
Yeah.
I don't know how that rumor kind of started. Like, you saw a movie though, right? Like,
I
a
saw a
couple
couple.
of them.
I don't know. What do you want to hear about here, Chris?
Well, tell me about Sicario, because that was one you were going to talk about a little bit last week,
Yeah, well, I
and
started watching it, and then I realized I was way too fucked up to be watching it. Because I was watching it, and I was going, okay, what's the point of this? I thought maybe I was missing something huge, because I watched an hour of it, and I was like, I don't get this. And it turns out, yeah, I was probably fucked up, but I rewatched the whole thing again from the beginning, and for that first hour, I was sober watching it, going, okay, I don't get it. There's just not much to it, really. It's Emily Blunt plays an FBI agent who, she's done a lot of field work. She's seen some shit, and she's really cool and level-headed. There's this government task force that sees that, and they recruit her to help with taking down a big Mexican drug cartel guy, right? They're going after the guy behind the guy, aren't you sick of just, cleaning up the mess here in wherever she is, somewhere in the southwest United States? Wouldn't you like to go after the source of where the shit's coming from and make a real difference? And of course she's like, hell yeah, fuck yeah. And then the whole movie is them kind of trying to go after this guy in Mexico. There's a part where I think they go after his brother. They go to extract him from Mexico, and it's from a courthouse or a jailhouse. And it's like this really tense scene of them trying to escort him back over the border into the United States, and they're worried that people are following them, trying to assassinate them and, free the guy or kill him or whatever, you know what I mean? It's just so the US can't get him. Stuff like that. All right. But it's like that's it. That's all there really is to it. And a big problem for me that I had throughout the movie, it's kind of something that you kind of touched on with DiCaprio's character in Revenant, is we learn nothing about Emily Blunt's character throughout the movie. Ever. Not at the end, nowhere. She's just a strong, FBI agent, stoic, quiet, strong, silent type. Doesn't say much. We don't know anything about her family, if she's married, if she has kids, if she has a drinking problem. Just nothing. She's a blank fucking slate throughout the whole movie. And I think that's a big problem because why do I care about any of this? You know what I
Right.
mean? But that all said, the movie does take an interesting twist and finally reveals itself within the last 45 minutes or so. And the last, those last 45 minutes are pretty badass, I guess is how I would describe it. Especially when it comes to Benicio del Toro's character, who is he works with this government task force too, but his origins are kind of mysterious. You're like, does he really work for this government task force, or is he just working with them? who's his employer, what's he there for? And when it's finally revealed who Benicio del Toro is, that was really awesome. Like it was, and it had like a really cool ending with that, right? But the thing is, Benicio del Toro is not your main character, dude. Like,
Right.
you know what I mean? Like, what about our main character? Like, she's given nothing to really do. So that was problematic to me. But the movie did have a pretty good score and really, really good cinematography. This guy is Roger Deakins, who, like, anything you've seen that he does, like, just looks awesome. I don't think he's ever won an Oscar either, somehow, for his cinematography. I'd have to look. But so, if anything, I know that's up for it. That'd be nice. But, like, going back just to the movie itself, like, those things are great. The ending is cool. It has some badassery going on. But, like I said, it just feels a little bit empty. It feels like there's just really not enough there to really care about for. Yeah, it's great that it gets cool in the last half hour, but like, what the hell was I, aside from a couple tense scenes in the first hour and a half, I'm like, wondering like, why do I care about any of this?
Right.
So, I don't know. I think some people's mileage will vary with it. I think a lot of people will really love Sicario. I think maybe it gets a bigger fan base as it goes on. But like I said, not terrible, but like. That the huge issue with Emily Blunt's character, I think, is enough that I'm gonna give it a three.
All right. So there's just some threes for some pretty big and
Yeah.
I mean, The Revenant and Sicario both hyped up a lot this year.
Yeah, I think if maybe you go in with what I said in mind about Sicario, maybe you walk out of it liking it more. I don't know. I'm sure you're gonna see it at some point, so we'll find out, but.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm pretty mixed on it. Like, it's definitely not a bad movie. It's well crafted and well acted, and there's some cool shit. But just there's problems. There's story problems with it.
I watched an Iranian vampire movie.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a long title. It's A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
I like it. I like the
It
title.
is directed by Anna Lily Amirpour. I believe she is from Iran. It was filmed in California, but it's supposed to take place in Iran, like in this ghost town called Bad City, where it's kind of like this rundown just shithole of a town. It starts off, well, one, it's a black and white film, and it's in Persian, so kind of an interesting take. The main character is this kid Arash, probably like 20 something or so. He has like a cool like retro American car. His dad is evidently like some sort of junkie. And as the movie starts, you see him as he's his dad is had just gotten high. His drug dealer comes and kind of wants to collect on his debt, and his dad like is just not responsive. So the drug dealer takes a Arash's car as payment. He kind of like, I mean, it's very upfront, like that this guy Saeed, like he you don't he's a bad dude. And he is dealing with this girl Addie, who is kind of also like a prostitute. I guess she sells herself, she sells drugs for him, and he kind of like forces himself on her early on. And as he is receiving blowjob from this girl, he looks in his rearview mirror and there's this other girl standing out there. He gets a little nervous, looks back, the girl's gone. This turns out it's this vampire chick, and she is like kind of hunting down people and killing them. Basically, if they're like bad people. And somehow Arash, like, he ends up drunk one night and he he ends up running into her on the side of the street, and she takes a liking to him, and they start growing this relationship together, and he doesn't realize she's a vampire. She doesn't really reveal that, but she doesn't want to get too close, but he's kind of like persistent, keeps going, and
This is sounding a little familiar to me.
It's not it's I would say it's not like Let the Right One In,
Really? Okay.
in that I mean maybe a little bit in the fact that just these people are older, like they're definitely dealing with different things. It's
Oh,
not
okay.
kids. Like, I mean, this guy has a car. He's
Yeah.
driving. And she ends up doing some other things. She doesn't want to get close to him through this whole film, but he keeps pushing. And at the very end, like he kind of realizes, oh shit, like she's the one. That's been doing all the things that have kind of been, either piling up on me in a bad way or helping me out. And she kind of like, I guess she knows, like, I don't know, at the end of the movie, I'm not really sure if he knows she's a vampire or not, but they kind of just go off into the sunset. There's this really nice scene at the end where he's kind of dealing with the fact that something has happened and he knows that she did it. And I guess he comes to this conclusion that that's all right, that he likes her enough or loves her that he's going to stick with it. And it's a really well shot movie though. The soundtrack's kind of cool. It's like a mix of some like American pop music, like older American pop music though, and like this kind of like Middle Eastern music going on. It's fun. I liked it quite a bit. Like, if you don't like subtitles, I would stay away because that's how you have to find out the story. But
I'd say if you don't like subtitles, you need to learn to like subtitles. You're missing out,
yeah,
honestly.
there's a lot of movies that like you that are really, really good and
Dude, honestly,
you
maybe it's
need to
because I
watch
don't
them.
have like a good sound situation in my house. Like my audio is just straight from my TV. A lot of movies that are in English, like I watch with subtitles anyways, because I don't hear what sometimes what people are saying, you know? And then you crank up the volume, and all of a sudden, when the loud parts happen, it's fucking your house is shaking. So it's like.
Yeah, I noticed this more with Blu-rays. Sound mixing is terrible.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe, hey, you have like an awesome like surround sound set up in your house. Like maybe then, I don't know, because like I said, I'm using from the TV built-in speakers.
Right. I mean, like, well, I would experience it with a surround sound system, like where like the dialogue is really low, like the mix on that is really low, but
Yeah, and
then
then the score and like the
It's like,
sound.
so you're raising it to hear them talk, and then yeah, as you said, like anything like comes to that crescendo, whether it be action or the score, all of a sudden it's like blowing out your walls. Your neighbors are
Yeah.
like, "What the fuck is going on?"
And it's weird because, like, even if I have like 100, my volume goes from 1 to 100 on my TV. Even if I turn up to like 60 or 70 sometimes, I can't hear what people are saying. So I'm just like. Anyways, just going back to my original point, like, you should give subtitle movies
Yeah.
a chance. Like,
I
it's nothing to be
mean,
afraid of.
I probably explained it really poorly, but I would say if you're into like vampires, horror type stuff, it's not very grisly, but there's some creepy scenes. There's this one scene with this recurring little boy, where the vampire kind of like comes up on her and is like, "Are you a bad boy?" And he's like, "No." He's like, "Are you a good boy?" And he's like, "Yes." And she's like, "Tell me the truth. Are you a good boy?" He's like, "Yes." And like she knows, like she knew that he had stolen something or whatever, and
Oh
she
God,
keeps
is she gonna?
battering him, and then she like threatens to like rip his eyes out, and like,
Dear God.
and she's gonna be watching him for the rest of his life. Like the kid is like terrified by the end of it. There's some really cool scenes in it though. There's something classy about a black and white movie.
Yeah, and I can't think of the last black and white horror that I saw.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say like 4 stars for it though. So
Nice.
and you saw another one too.
Yeah, this one flew like way under the radar. Like, I don't know. I saw it at like Walmart or something, like on the shelf, and I was looking at it like, I never heard of this. Whatever, it's probably garbage. Called Mississippi Grind. Eventually I saw a trailer for it on some DVD that I rented from Netflix, and I was like, that looks interesting. It's like a gambling movie, so I love those. Like, Rounders is one of my favorites. So I was like, I'll give it a shot, you know. And I like the cast. It's Ryan Reynolds and Ben Mendelsohn. And what it is Ben Mendelsohn is like the main character, and he's kind of like this degenerate gambler. Guy just can't seem to win. And he runs into Ryan Reynolds' character at a poker game, like in a casino. And then he runs in again in a bar. And they kind of like hit it off. And next thing you know, they're driving down south to New Orleans to get in on this big like $25,000 buy-in poker game. And so it's like a road trip movie, you know, with like their adventures along the way. The directors of this, their names are Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden. I want to say like they're like a couple, like married or boyfriend, girlfriend. They described it, 'cause like I watched the extras after I watched it. Like this is their description is it's like a throwback to the old 70s buddy movies like Midnight Cowboy and such. That's like kind of what they're going for. And I liked it a lot. I was like surprised how much I liked it. Ben Mendelsohn especially is like perfect in this role. He's like perfectly cast. Like, he just has the face of a loser, kind of. And he's always been good at playing, like, kind of, I don't know, kind of low lives, you know? But
Okay.
here he gets to play it to, like, full effect. And not like a guy that, like, you hate or anything. Like, you just kind of pity him here. He's not, like, a bad guy. He's just a, you know, he's a loser. Like, honestly, dude, it's probably my favorite performance of all of last year is him in this movie. It's not a really like showy role. Like, he doesn't get to like go crazy emoting and like there is a scene where he cries and stuff, but like mostly it's just like the way he just interacts in normal social situations, like how uncomfortable you see that he feels because of how much life has beat him down. Like, Mendelsohn fucking nails it, dude. Like, I wish more people saw this or whatever, because like he deserves some recognition for what he did here. And Ryan Reynolds, not bad either. I do think that it's a little hard to get a handle on where Ryan Reynolds' character is coming from, because he's just kind of like he's like the opposite of this guy. He's kind of like a winner. He seems to win a lot at gambling, even though he doesn't seem to like really give a shit. Like, he says early on, like he goes, I don't have any tells or whatever. He's like, why? He's like, well, because my secret is I don't give a shit about if I win or lose. You know what I mean? But he tends to win more than lose. But I don't. It's tough for me to say. I did have to, like, through the whole. Like, I remember turning to my girlfriend halfway through a movie. I go, what is up with Ryan Reynolds' character? What's his angle? Is he bringing this guy along because he's trying to do some kind of scam on him? Or, you know, what is the deal here? Does he genuinely like this guy and this is like a real, genuine friendship? Like, what makes this guy tick? And I do have my opinion after seeing the movie twice. But I won't spoil it. I do think, like, if you like gambling movies, if you like buddy movies, road movies, this is really worth it. And it has a surprisingly really fun ending. And I'm just going to leave it at that. It's a pretty high recommend from me. I'm giving it 4 out of 5 stars.
All right, I just added that to my Amazon Prime video watch list.
I don't know. I don't know if you're into that type of movie, but I always have been, and
I
it's.
like Ryan Reynolds, so
Oh, really?
I find him
I know.
enjoyable.
He's good in it. He's very good in it. It might be one of his best performances, but I don't know if you've seen Ben Mendelsohn in a lot of stuff. Like, he's always good. He really gets to shine here. Like, he kind of owns this movie. It's pretty awesome. So, yeah. I don't know, man. You'll have to get back to me when you see it, because I don't know anyone who's seen this. So.
I will give it a watch.
There is an awesome poker hand too in this movie. It's just a very painful poker hand that's happened to me many times. It hurts.
And then, I guess let's talk about the Oscars, but I guess before that, should probably mention Alan Rickman died
Oh yeah, well we've had
today.
a couple losses in the last
Yeah, David Bowie recently.
who did some acting as well, you know.
Yeah, Labyrinth and The Prestige. He was in some other stuff too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alan Rickman,
You know
tons of big
what's
roles.
surprising to me about like him and with David Bowie and I think earlier last year, Wes Craven. There was no like lead up to any of this. Like I did not know Alan Rickman was sick. You know what I
No,
mean?
I didn't know him or David Bowie were sick, actually.
I do think that these and Wes Craven. Did you know Wes Craven was sick before he died? Also, I mean, I knew he was old, but I had no idea he had cancer.
Yeah,
Like
I hadn't heard. Maybe they were just keeping that stuff, private.
that's what I think. I think that a lot of these, like once they find out, they're like, well. I'm just gonna keep it to myself and see what happens or whatever, you know, like
Right.
I really don't know. But yeah, Alan Rickman, I enjoyed him. I mean for me it's Hans Gruber. It's a
Oh
weird
yeah.
generational thing. You see a lot of people like saying Harry Potter and I'm like I've never seen a Harry Potter movie, so
Yeah, I mean, he played a major character in Harry Potter, yes, but Hans Gruber in Die Hard, Sheriff of Nottingham and Robin Hood. He's fantastic in that role, actually.
yeah, oh yeah, I remember that.
That
Yeah, he's good.
has one of my favorite lines where he says he's gonna rip Robin Hood's heart out with a
Oh yeah, with
spoon.
a dull spoon.
With a spoon, and then one of his guards is like, "Well, why a spoon, Sheriff?" It's like, it's dull, it'll hurt more.
I do. You know what's so funny is I only saw that movie when it first came out, and I remember that dull spoon line because
It's so good.
I just remember thinking as a kid going like. That is awful. Like,
Right?
holy shit.
It's such an awesome line. And he's so over the top in that. He's so good. He was able to just morph into whatever character, really. Like, he's like the evil mastermind in Die Hard. He played the Spock type character in Galaxy Quest.
Dude, he was the angel with no penis and
Yes, he was
And
the
Dogma.
voice of God, Metatron, and Dogma. It's like, that's actually what I woke up to this morning, was a Facebook post by Kevin Smith,
You know,
with a
that's.
picture of Alan Rickman with no dick.
I did see that later, but the funny thing is, like, when I got up this morning, you know, I got up really early and. I saw that he had died. Like the first thought that came to my mind is, what did Kevin Smith say about this? And I guess Kevin Smith was still asleep because he hadn't posted anything yet. But then later I
Right.
saw, for some reason though, that came in my mind because I'm like, oh yeah, dude, he got like I know Kevin Smith was stoked when he got Alan Rickman for fucking Dogma. You know what I mean? Like, it was a pretty big actor for his dumb fucking movie. Oh, you like Dogma, don't you?
I do.
It's really low on my list of Kevin Smith, but. But I remember he was really like happy about it. But
Yeah, some of that some of Dogma is just like growing up Catholic, like there's a lot to relate to there, so.
no, I mean, there's things I like about it. It's just I feel like it's long and it's not as funny as his other ones. And it was him trying to make a real movie before he was ready for it, I think is. Kind of my take on it, but
Sure.
I think he's gotten a little better. Anyways, though,
So that's sad.
yeah, rest in peace, Alan.
Also sad is
The Oscar
the
nominations.
Oscar nominations.
I'm trying to pull up a list here. Everyone I pull up is like blasting some ad in my ear as I open it.
Yeah, I have the ABC ones, the ABC list up, but
That's what I was. That one played an ad for me.
it did. I have everything kind of like silenced, so.
Yeah,
What do we want to talk about here? There's a bunch.
Well, we could kind of run down it real quick, like just going through the categories, but there's two big things that stick out for me. Star Wars, technical categories, nothing else. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, it's not surprising me because it is like a dumb, I wouldn't even say it's dumb, but it's a popcorn movie, you know?
Yeah, but there are also two popcorn movies on here which I think are
That's the thing.
not as good as that. There's also a Steven Spielberg movie on here that is, by all accounts, not particularly great.
Oh yeah, that
Bridge of
Bridge of Spies.
Spies, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, whatever. I mean, I did not love The Revenant. Obviously, people really, really liked it. Garnered 12 nominations, but so I'm kind of like, okay, whatever. That one belongs.
I continue to be baffled by Mad Max Fury Road. I think it's like a
Yeah,
technically well-made movie, like
I
great
think
action. Yeah.
technical nominations for that are well deserved.
Yeah, but anything beyond that, I don't see it, dude. I don't see what anyone like we have a lot of friends that loved it, and it's I feel like you and I are the only ones that came out of it going, I don't know, it was all right. Like there's nothing that great. Like there was no story to it. And then people like want to assign this feminist shit to it. Like, yeah, there's like a sliver of that in there. Big deal. You know, like I don't get it, dude. Like I think that Rey in Star Wars is a stronger female lead than anyone in fucking Mad Max, because
Yeah.
no one in Mad Max had it. Fuck, there was no characters in that fucking movie. There's no plot, no characters. Like, whatever, dude. Not to like.
And it's a movie literally about going in a circle.
Yeah, that's all they do. They go one way and they come back. Like, I don't. Whatever, dude. That pisses me off.
And the Martian being on there, I just don't get it. Like
Well, at least it wasn't nominated for Best Musical like it was for the
I
fucking Golden Globes.
Yeah, it was
Best Comedy.
best musical and comedy, and like it's neither of those movies. It's like it is funny, but it is not a comedy. Like it is a drama.
Yeah, I. They made fun of that at least during the awards, during the Golden Globes. But so I have zero dogs in the hunt for Best Picture. Like I have only seen out of that list Mad Max. I really want to see Big Short. I really want to see The Martian, The Revenant, Room, and Spotlight. But Bridge of Spies, I could care less. In Brooklyn, I never even heard of until I saw that nomination. So.
Yeah, I'm kind of like not interested in the best picture, and like Inside Out, not up there either. Like,
Of course, because it has to be in the best animated.
I just don't get like it could be both. To me,
Yeah.
like you could be the best movie and also be a cartoon.
Yeah, that's like the thing. It's like just because you have. I think that it's good to have a best animated film category,
Yeah.
but just because you're in that doesn't mean you can't be up for the big award. Like, at least in my opinion, it should not. Like, that's fucking
Yeah, it's like
bullshit.
you're the best animated movie this year, and you're also the best movie. Like, and I'm not saying that Inside Out is the best movie this year, but like, I think that this bullshit where they kind of like separated that out, like, no, it belongs in that list, especially in a year where there's only eight nominees. Like, you could have fit
Yeah.
Inside Out in as the ninth.
I think another really bullshit one is I have not seen this movie yet, but I've heard amazing things about it. I really can't wait to see it, is Anomalisa, which is the new Charlie Kaufman movie. Since it's made with stop motion animation, they just threw that also in their best animated feature film. And like from what I heard, that should probably be up for Best Picture as well.
Right.
Have you heard anything about that movie?
No, but
It is, you know, it's stop motion animated about a one night stand. But like the things I've heard about it sound really good.
so really, it's just been a like hidden away in for the
Yeah, because
Oscars. It's
it's
ridiculous.
not, dude, like look at all the other films and best animated film. Like it'd be like putting Waltz with Bashir. Was that the name of that movie? Like in best animated film category because it had animation in it. Like it's an adult film, whatever. I mean, we're getting into semantics here and shit, but like,
Right.
dude, Yeah, whatever. Throw out another thing that really fucking pisses me off, and I'm trying to find it, but it's the best original score. Like, oh my God, this one really fucking. Where the fuck is it?
Yeah, it's Bridge of Spies, Carol, The Hateful Eight, Sicario, and Star Wars.
I think that Sicario and Hateful Eight had pretty good scores. I think obviously Star Wars has a good score, even though it's like basically the same shit.
Yeah,
Where's It Follows?
yeah,
Like, come on, dude. Like,
not here at all. That and Ex Machina, not really
yeah, dude. All
on the
right.
board.
Not getting into the spoilers, but like, dude, there's a part at the end when of Ex Machina where violence starts, and then the score kicks in, and oh my God, it was like this awesome sci-fi fucking 80s moment where I was just like, yes! And that music's fucking, it's incredible.
Right.
And that's a movie that like Ex Machina should probably be up for Best Picture. Like, I could see, all right, I could see It Follows not being up for Best Picture. It's a fucking genre movie through and through. But Ex Machina, like, I don't know. It, like, the fucking Academy Awards continue to piss me off for fucking ever. I think the only time I've aligned with the Academy Awards ever that I can recall was when the Hurt Locker won, because like I was all about that movie. But other than that, like every year, like dude, who the fuck remembers The Artist?
I don't.
It was like that fucking it was like a silent film that came out a couple of years ago, like that was like an homage to silent films, and like
Right.
that one Best Picture. Nobody fucking remembers that movie. I don't know. It's whatever. My one like really positive takeaway out of all this is fucking Sylvester Stallone is gonna fucking win an Oscar for his role in Creed, which.
Yeah. That was a nice nice kind of win there for him, and I think that's a weak
Yeah, I think he like that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah, he won the Golden Globe. He got nominated here, and it's like a shoo-in in my opinion. Like, all those other actors are good, but like, I don't know. Do you think Tom Hardy in The Revenant is gonna beat
no.
fucking Stallone and Creed? Yeah.
No, I mean, if anybody wins anything from The Revenant for acting, it'll be DiCaprio. Like,
Which honestly, I hope he does. Not because I've seen The Revenant, but like I said, I think he's due.
yeah, he deserves one, and that seems to be how they operate. Like, I remember when they gave Denzel his best actor win, and it was for Training Day. Like, I mean, the guy has been way better in other movies. Not that he was bad in Training Day. Like, Training Day is a really good movie, and he's really good in it, but.
See that, you know what? That is probably my favorite Denzel Washington performance. The, but another a great exa the greatest example of this is Martin Scorsese. He got fucked over his whole career, and they give it to him for The Departed, which in my opinion, like I know people love it, but it's like I do not love The Departed.
I think it's good, but it is
It's no Goodfellas.
and it's a remake of a like Hong Kong movie.
Yeah, but they finally gave it to him for that after, like, dude, he should have won for fucking Taxi Driver, and he definitely should have won for fucking Goodfellas. Like, whatever. Like,
Right.
at least at some point, they're at least, like, giving these people the
Yeah,
right
like,
to
oh, we need to
their.
do it. Like,
Yeah.
this guy deserves it. I'm like looking at the best actress, and like don't know. I think Jennifer Lawrence might come out of that.
I don't think so, dude. Like, no one liked that's and she
No
won
one
it
liked
in
that
for,
movie, but
yeah,
everyone seems to like her in it.
she won it, yeah, at the Golden Globes, which is like maybe she will, but like I do think that the fact that it's well, I don't know, dude. Maybe you're right. I honestly have not seen any
Yeah,
of
I
them.
haven't seen Carol or Room or 45 Years or Brooklyn, so I don't know, but out of those, like, Joy seems to be the one that, like, that's the name that I'm hearing,
I
so.
kind of I'm gonna go out on a limb here. Brie Larson in the room. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks like she's going to be really good in it, and the movie looks awesome. So,
yeah, and then it's with Jennifer Jason Leigh, Rooney Mara, Rachel McAdams, Alicia Vikander, and Kate Winslet for Best Supporting Actress. So.
I think Alicia Vikander is nominated for the wrong role. I think you put her in there for Ex Machina, and that, to me, is a win. Kate Winslet, like, she won the Golden Globe, and I think she was fine in Steve Jobs, but nothing that I think was, like, really noteworthy. Like, I love fucking Kate Winslet, too. I just, like, her performance in that really was just, like, kind of propping what's-his-name up. Like, she just, I don't know. I honestly liked Jennifer Jason Leigh in The Hateful Eight. I thought she was pretty fantastic in that.
She was pretty good.
She ain't gonna win, though. I'll tell you that.
Tarantino kind of skimped out on this too. He did not grab his movie there. Did not grab a whole lot.
Yeah, I think that there's kind of a mixed reaction to The Hateful Eight, which doesn't help. But he should have been up for best screenplay. Like, probably should have been up for a couple things, but.
Yeah, and then Best Director, Adam McKay for The Big Short, George Miller for Mad Max, Alejandro Iñárritu for The Revenant, Lenny Abramson for Room, and Tom McCarthy for Spotlight. I don't know here.
Nothing. I guess how I feel about this whole like Academy Awards in general, this series, like the stuff that I really loved, really didn't get the props they deserved.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll probably watch the end of it as I always do to see like the last four awards or whatever. But
I always watch the whole thing.
I don't know if I could sit through 4.5 hours of it.
Watch it with Twitter. Every award show is amazing now with Twitter because like it's just like fucking constant, like, you know. It just goes crazy during those award shows. And, you know, some of these things, like, that are up, you know, Best Director and Best Picture, it's like, yeah, I haven't seen a lot of them, and I do plan to see them, so some of that's on me, but I don't know. I do feel like you couldn't throw J.J. Abrams' nomination, at least for Star Wars, and maybe give it a Best Picture nod. Like, you don't have to give it to it, but...
Right, like...
I don't know.
Whatever. Mad Max, everyone loves it.
I don't think it's gonna win anything. I don't know. Maybe it does. Like, it's really hard to say.
Some stuff. It might win some technical stuff.
I do feel like The Revenant is somehow gonna win Best Director and Best Picture. I don't know how. I don't know if that would be a first. Same director wins 2 years in a row. But I don't know if he won for director last year. Did he? I know they won Best Picture for that god-awful fucking Birdman movie.
I thought he did. Let me check here.
I'm almost certain.
Alejandro, his 3 Oscars. Yeah, he won Best Achievement in Directing for Birdman.
Dude, I've never been so against a Best Picture winner ever, like... Like, I had not seen it when it won, and I was like, alright, well, maybe it's really awesome. Like, you know, like, it looked interesting. And so then I watched it, and I was like, whoa, that was not good. What the fuck was that? Like, I don't know, you'll have to see it for yourself one day and get back to me, but, like, there's nothing... I don't know, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
It's not good. A bunch of fucking self-important bullshit.
I may skip on that one.
Yeah. Oh, and can I throw one last fucking thing out there before we get out of here?
Sure.
Best documentary feature. I like that Amy was nominated. That almost actually made my top 10 list of the year. But where the fuck is Call Me Lucky, dude? That movie's getting like way overlooked in my opinion. Like, I know there's like a billion documentaries that come out every year, but I think Call Me Lucky stood out pretty strong, and, you know, I try to see as much as I can. No fucking recognition for that? What the fuck, dude? They're against Bobcat. That's what I'm saying.
It's possible.
It's possible they don't want to take him seriously. And it was a great film, but whatever.
Well, what do you plan on seeing this week? Anything?
I am going to see a film called Slow West, which is a Western.
Okay.
With Ben Mendelsohn. I'm on a Ben Mendelsohn kick. And if I'm hoping, if it works out, another Western, Bone Tomahawk.
I just added that to my list, too. I'm not a fan of Westerns, but I heard that that's like a horror Western mix, so.
Yeah, and I've seen it, like, it's hit a lot of, like, top 10 lists and shit. Like, it's just one of those ones that, like, it's kind of like Mississippi Grind, where, like, it came out of nowhere. Like, I don't ever recall it being in the theater or whatever, but. But if Bone Tomahawk is still on short wait from Netflix, I'll be getting Minions. Which, believe me, I do not want to see. But
why is that on your list?
My girlfriend really likes Minions. Right, well, don't ask me why. I don't get it.
I mean, I guess they're cute. There's that. Right?
I fucking hate them. I hate I hate the stupid Minions memes on Facebook. Because it'll just be like, it'll be like a stupid saying like, I don't know how I get through a day without coffee, or, you know, something like stupid like that, those stupid Facebook memes. And then it's just a picture of a minion standing there. And I'm like, what the fuck does that have to do with a minion? Like, I don't get it. And I've asked my girlfriend, like, I don't understand what, like, any of this stuff has to do with minions. She's like, they're funny. They're cute. I'm like, but what the fuck? I don't know. I fucking can't stand it. So, yeah, if Bone Tomahawk doesn't come through, you get to hear my thoughts on Minions, which I'm sure everyone will be really excited to hear.
Well, do you have a Amazon Prime?
No.
It is streaming on their service. So,
what, Bone Tomahawk?
Yeah.
So if you have Prime, could you watch whatever they have streaming, or is that like a rental per?
No, it's just like Netflix. But
I like that. I like it a lot.
And you get the shipping and. Actually, they just implemented, if you have Prime, there's a 20% discount on brand new games within the first 2 weeks of release. So
if you get your Prime, how much is a Prime membership?
I think it's $100 for the year.
I mean, I guess if I bought all my games through it, and I was using it to watch movies and stuff, then
make your money back.
Yeah,
or at least make it worthwhile. Like, you wouldn't make your money back, but.
I guess, you know, I easily spend more than that on Netflix. I'm spending like $20 a month, so.
All right. Well, maybe I'll check it out. Yeah, I'm going to try and watch Bone Tomahawk. I added that Mississippi Grind to my list, too.
So yeah, I'd be really excited to hear what you think.
I might try and go see 13 Hours as well.
Mm.
It's the new Michael Bay movie.
That's a big pass for me.
Yeah, I haven't read any reviews, so. Oh, I have not either. It's almost positive.
Well, there's that. It's just, I can't stomach a Benghazi movie directed by Michael Bay. None of the above sounds good to me.
Sounds fantastic. I kind of want to see Ride Along too, but that is getting destroyed in the reviews. So.
Yeah, not going to that either. I'm probably going to be sticking with whatever's coming out on video now. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, we will be back next week.
Oh, yeah.
Movie dudes.
Do, 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 do.